Right. Now, continuing from there, many other points of distinction the ulama have made mention, but we will leave that and continue because we've got to try and conclude the topic by today. We don't have much time. Because of these blessings, when the Sahaba gained victory over the Romans in Yarmouk, they converged on Jerusalem, on Al-Quds, and they laid siege. The Christians who were in charge there, they could not withhold the siege, and they made a conditional surrender. The conditional surrender was, we are prepared to give over Al-Quds to you, provided Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu himself comes to go and fetch the key of Jerusalem, Al-Quds. Now at that time, the Sahaba who were stationed there, they felt, now why should we call Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu all the way from Medina Munawwara to give him this? We can just take the key from here. But here it wasn't this. I've heard this from Umar Palanpuri, rahmatullah alayh, in one of his bayans, he makes mention of this. He said, why should we call Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu all the way from there? We can take the key from here. But they had another purpose in giving the key. The purpose was, Allah Ta'ala himself has made mention in the Quran that never mind the last prophet of Almighty Allah being made mention in the previous scriptures, even the companions of the last prophet have been made mention in the previous scriptures. Allah has made سِيمَاهُمْ فِي وَجُوهِهِمْ مِنْ ذَلِكَ مَثَلُهُمْ فِي التَّوْرَاةِ وَمَثَلُهُمْ فِي الْإِنْجِيلِ. The qualities of the Sahaba are not only made mention in the Quran, they were made mention in the original Torah and Injil. Right? So in that scriptures, part of that mentioning was that one of the followers of the last prophet would come and conquer Jerusalem. So they wanted to look at these scriptures and compare it with this person, the follower of the last prophet, and see what they particular scriptures make mention of the person whose features have been made mention in the previous scriptures, who will come and conquer Masjid Aqsa and Al-Quds. So then they put forward Amr ibn al-As' name. So the people looked in the scripture and they said, well, the name is very familiar. It is made mention in our scriptures. But when they saw Amr, they said, no, the name is familiar. The features are not familiar. Features are different. So the Muslims there put Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu in front. They looked at Khalid bin Walid, compared it with their scriptures and said, well, the features are very similar. They asked him the name. He said, my name is Khalid. He said, the features are similar. The name is not similar. So then they realized that, no, let us call Umar radiallahu anhu. Umar radiallahu anhu made mashwara. Ali radiallahu anhu gave him the mashwara and said, no, you should go. He appointed Ali radiallahu anhu to be his deputy while he go for this particular journey. And many people might be quite interested that what have been the shan and the shaukat and what great fervor and with what great pomp and splendor Umar radiallahu anhu must have left Madinah Munawwara. After all, he is leaving Madinah Munawwara to gather the keys of the Mubarak and blessed city of Al-Quds. Surely he must be going with such great pomp and splendor. If you want to regard and know about that, you would be very disappointed, because the simplicity with which he went was such that his whole retinue consisted of just few people, one or two camels. In fact, the camels were not even enough to carry all the passengers. They used to take turns in riding the camels. But such was the effect of that simplicity that it created such an awe in the minds and hearts of all the rulers of the world, that when it came to be known that Umar has departed from Medina to gain the city, the keys of the city of Jerusalem, wallah, it created fear and terror into the hearts and minds of all the rulers of the world at that time. Something with all our pomp and splendor we cannot achieve. That simplicity with what it achieved. Nevertheless, Umar radiallahu anhu comes and he stations himself at a place which is known in history by the name of Jabia. Jabia is very close or present day Amman. While Umar radiallahu anhu is in Jabia, in what is present day Amman, then a delegation come there to sign the treaty. The delegation from the Christians of Jerusalem come to sign the treaty. Umar radiallahu anhu signs the treaty. Part of that particular clauses of the treaty is that when we come there, we will grant you safety and security of your lives. We will grant you safety and security of your churches. We will grant you safety and security of your crosses. We will not destroy your churches. We will not destroy your crosses. You will be allowed to keep your churches. You will be allowed to worship how you want to. There are certain other aspects that you will have to give jizya as a tax to be able to provide you with that particular protection. But all those aspects are made mention. And this shows the tolerance of Islam. You know, one scholar has very beautifully written this. And he said that when Muslims were powerful, they were tolerant. He said, power brings tolerance. He said, today when we are weak, we have become intolerant. He said, intolerance is a sign of weakness. Intolerance is a sign of weakness. And he said, tolerance is a sign of power. He said, when the Muslims were powerful, they were tolerant. When they have become weak, we have become intolerant. And if you want to see the intolerance today, you see the pamphleteering that happens between us today. It is a sign of weakness. Wallah, it is a sign of weakness. This is a real sign of weakness, that when you are powerful, then you are tolerant. And Qari Taib Sahib Rahmatullah Ali has made mention of this in a very amazing way. Qari Taib Sahib Rahmatullah Ali makes mention, he said, that when the Muslims were powerful, then their minds used to be occupied by things like jihad. They had a common enemy. They used to fight over authority. They used to fight over mulk. They used to fight over land and power over other particular regions and places in the world. He said, when we lost that, now we sit and fight with regard to disciples, and we fight with regard to things of masla, masail, and there's the type of things that happen. And who says this? Qari Taib Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, the rector of Darul Uloom Deoband. Wallah, this intolerance is a sign of weakness. And this we find from Umar radiallahu ta'ala. Umar radiallahu ta'ala, the next day, after signing this treaty, now proceeds to Jerusalem. And as he proceeds, the generals who were there, the Muslims, they felt that Umar radiallahu ta'ala is going with such simplicity, torn and tattered clothes, riding on a camel which is looked down upon. You know, it's not the latest version car. You're not going with a Mercedes. No? You need to go with something that is, people can look at you with respect. You can't go with an ordinary car now. How will people look at you? So they said, no, leave this camel. We'll give you a mule. And we will give you the best of jubbas. So they give a best of jubbas to Umar radiallahu ta'ala. They give him a mule instead of his normal camel. And Umar radiallahu ta'ala reluctantly accepts. But when he arrives and he comes upon the mule starts jumping around. It has greater arrogance than a camel, which has simplicity. Umar radiallahu ta'ala said, give me back my camel, take your mule. Give me back my torn and tattered clothes, keep your jubba. And then he says those legendary words, Wallah, Nahnu qawmun aadhan Allahu bil Islam. We are a nation that Allah Ta'ala has granted the respect with Islam. As long as we identify and remain steadfast upon Islam, Allah Ta'ala will grant us respect. The day we leave Islam, that's the day Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala will take away our respect and honor. Our respect and honor is not tied to material things. Our respect and honor is tied to Islam and our adherence to the commands of Almighty Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Umar radiallahu ta'ala proceeds to Masjid Al-Aqsa and Al-Quds. When he comes there, the first things he asks is, where did Hazrat Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam make ibadat? And of course, he was referred to Masjid Al-Aqsa. When he comes to Masjid Al-Aqsa, we keep in mind, at that particular time, Masjid Al-Aqsa is desolated. It is full of dirt and debris. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala starts picking up the dirt with his kurta. And he tells the Sahaba, you do the same. They clear the land. Umar radiallahu anhu asks Hazrat Kaab radiallahu anhu, where should we put up the masjid? At Kaab radiallahu anhu initially said, behind the rock, when Nabi Karim s.a.w. proceeded for Miraj in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu doesn't like the suggestion and said, if we keep the masjid there, then we will be facing the rock. It will be inappropriate. Let us keep the masjid in front of the rock. Umar radiallahu anhu reads Salat. In that Salat, he recites Surah Bani Israel and Surah Sa'd, because there is reference with regard to Masjid Al-Aqsa in both these surahs. He performs and he reads Salat with it. And then he remains there for several days. Some interesting incidents that happen while he is there. One, of course, is that when he came to the church, and it was a time of Zuhr prayers, and the bishop Sufranas told him that, why don't you perform Salat in the church? He refused. And what was his basis for refusing? He said, no, if I go and read Salat in the church, the Muslims will take that as a cue. Our Khalifa performs Salat in the church, and they will one day come and grab it away, and they would like to take it away from Christianity, from the Christians. This is not something and a legacy that I would like to leave behind. Then Sofranas, seeing his clothes, said, can I offer you new clothes? Umar radiallahu anhu declined and said, no, I will take your clothes as long as my clothes is given for washing. After my clothes become washed and they return back to me, you take back your clothes. While they were there, Hazrat Bilal radiallahu anhu was also there. Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu had refused to give azan after the time of our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because whenever he gave azan, it reminded him of our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he used to say Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah, when Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was alive, he used to wait that very soon the Prophet of Almighty Allah would make his way from his room into the Masjid al-Nabawi. After that, there was no more that aspect and that feeling. So Bilal radiallahu ta'ala did not have the courage to give azan. But while they were in Jerusalem, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala insisted upon him to give the azan. And one day when he gave azan, it brought back tears of the Sahaba Ikram in memory of our beloved Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Another interesting incident that happens when Umar radiallahu ta'ala is there is the incident of Tamim Darim.